Okay, so we're continuing on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Good, who wants to continue? Okay, so now we got another question. What about the Dimei Avodas Kuchavim Biyad Ovei Kuchavim? So what does that mean? So Rashi explains, right? Dimei Avodas Kuchavim means what? Right, so now as we know that if a Yisrael has Avodas Kuchavim and he sells it, so that Damim is Asur Ba'anah. That's Dimei Avodas Kuchavim Biyad Yisrael, right? But what if an Oved Kochavim sells his Avodas Kochavim and he gets money in exchange? Is it Tofes that Damim? Right? Now, is the phenomenon of Avodas Kochavim is Tofes Damim only Biyad Yisrael or Biyad Akam too? So he says it's Mestavra that is Mutter. Right, it's Mestavra that it's not Tofes Dam.
Tofes is Dam beyond the Amar the Rav Nachman Mestavra the Mail is Chavim beyond Chavim.
Okay, he says Mestavra from this case that he knows. The also Lekame the Rabba Baravua. That was Midahanu Dasuk Lekame the Rabba Baravua. So these people came to Rabba Baravua. Go ahead. Yeah, so he told them, sell everything that you have, and then be Megayer. Right? So what was the problem, Rashi? So he gave them good advice. In other words, they were not Jewish at this point, and they had a Avodas Kuchavim in their hands. So he said, if you're Megayer now, then you're not going to be able to do anything with them. Right? Then it'll definitely be Tofes Dam. But you sell them now, and then you'll have the money, and then when you're a Megayer, you'll be able to use the money. So you see from that story that the Dimei Avodas Kuchavim, Biyad Ovei Kuchavim is Mutar Ba'anah. It's not Tofes Dam. Otherwise there'd be no benefit in selling them now. Right? In other words, he's giving them an Eitzah. If you sell them now, then you'll be able to use them later. But that's only if it's not Tofes Dam, right? It's an open question. Okay, but in terms of the question, what are the two sides? What's the chakira over here? Whether it's Tofes Dam and Biyad Ovei Kuchavim or not? Is Avodas Kuchavim Tofes Dam and Biyad Ovei Kuchavim or not? That's basically the question. So what do you say? So what would you say? So Tosfos supplies the side for saying, supplies the reasoning for the side that says it's not. What does he say? Go ahead.
Mestavra demei avodas kuchavim biyad ovei kuchavim mutarim. V'nira tam ki ma she avodas kuchavim tofeses demei ha yishum dechsiv v'hayisa cherem kamohu.
Right.
Kol shat demehaya memenu kamohu. It could be Yisrael, davka namah.
So that was the pasuk that we did a while ago, right? That was Nun Dalet Amud Beis. That how do you know that it's Tofes Damim, right? Also Chalipin Lavos Chavim Asran. So that is because of the pasuk of V'Hayisoch Cherem Kamohu. So yeah, what is that again? Devarim Zion. And that's a pasuk. That's a pasuk in the Torah. That's only Yisrael. That's not to a ben off. Yeah, what does it say? In the beginning of Akiv. Below Sovi so Eva El Besecha Vahayi so Cherem Kamo Shaketz to Shaketz Enu Vesayv to Zavenu Ki Cherem Hu. So that pasuk is a pasuk for Yisrael, not for Benoch. So that's the side to say that what? It's not Tofes Dam. Yeah. And what's the other side? I mean, what does it mean what does it mean that it's Yisrael, not Levenoch? I mean, the whole Torah is for Yisrael, not right? But if a guy cooks basar b'chalav, is it basar b'chalav? Yeah, it's basar b'chalav. If a guy plants kilayim, is it kilayim? Yeah, it's kilayim. So just because the mitzvahs are given to Bnei Yisrael doesn't mean that that a non-Jew can't effectuate something that is a mitzvah to a Jew, right? So it's true that it's v'hayis is true. There's a mitzvah for the Yisrael not to be neneh from that which was switched for avos kochavim. But what does that have to do with the tefisas dam itself? Right? Can't say, you wouldn't say if a guy cooks bas b'chalav, it's mutter because he's not included in that mitzvah. Right? So what's the chakir over here? Right. Yes, yeah, so I showed you the Rambam, right? What does the Rambam say in the Mora? Very interesting. It's very, very interesting Rambam, isn't it? So the Rambam says, what's the reason for the Isser Hanah? Why is it that you can't have Hanah from Avos Kochavim? And even the money that you sell for the sell it for? So he says, because if a person, he goes through different cases, but let's take this case. If a person has a Avos Kochavim, and he sells it to get rid of it, right? And then he uses that money for some business venture, let's say, and becomes successful. He's going to feel that it was the Avos Kochavim had some part to play in this, because it was the money that came from it. Kol Tamei Yamimenu. It was from it. This money came from that sale, and then my luck turned for the better. This is money. This is lucky money. Why is this money lucky? Because it came from that Avos Kochavim. Right? Yeah. So does that help us with one of the sides? No. Right. So I'm saying you can't have that mistake by the money from a guy.
Right, because here's what I'm trying to say.
Is that what your question is?
Yeah.
Well, can you? Okay. Yes, for you, boy. Yeah. So halachically speaking, what would you say over here? Now, halachically speaking, the question is it like an Isser of Basar B'chalav? In other words, where the Torah is just defining how the Isser is, how the Shem Isser is Chal, that there's two ways to have the Chalo Shem of Avos Kochavim. Either someone is Oved the object, right, in Metalvan, the does Avoda, is Makrif to it, whatever it may be, or This all comes under the heading in the Torah of what creates the shame of Avos Kochavim. If it's all under the heading of what, of how the shame of Avos Kochavim is chal, and we say Tfisas Damim is one of the ways to be nitfas in the shame of Avos Kochavim, then it wouldn't matter if it's B'yad Yisrael, B'yad Akam. Just be like the Torah telling you, how does the shame Basar B'chalav come? Through Bishul. So if Tfisas Damim is like a secondary way of creating the shame of Avos Kochavim, that's the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah is telling you there's a primary way of creating Avos Kochavim and a secondary way, then it wouldn't matter who's machlif. As long as it comes under the definition of Demei Avos Kochavim, it's Avos Kochavim, right? But that's not what the Gemara holds. The Gemara holds is the other way. So what is the other way? So the other way is like the Tam in the Mora. It's not a din. It's not a din that when you're machlif, that's a din of a shame of Avos Kochavim, of a secondary chalos of Avos Kochavim. It's not a din in the definition, right? What is it a din in? It's not a din in the Cheftza. So you're saying in the Gavra? I mean, it is an interesting din. I mean, the way the Rambam is phrasing, is expressing it. And the way the Pasuk expresses it is also, what does it say? What does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says, Lo sovi so eva el beisecha. Don't bring the toeva into your house. V'hoyiso cherem kamohu. So it means to say, and that's the Tosus saying, is because of the pshat in that Pasuk. It means to say that what creates the din of, what's the din of tfisas damim really stemming from? It's stemming from the chiyuv of removing it from your rishus. Right? I mean, the Torah says that you have an obligation to remove it from your rishus completely. There should not be anything in your Rishus that has an association to it. In other words, it's not really a din. It's an interesting thing. Halachically, it has the shame of Avodas Kochavim. But it's not really conceptually a din of creating another primary entity of Avodas Kochavim. It only has the shame of Avodas Kochavim because of its association. Because the fact that it was in your Rishus, and this Dhammim represents some remnant of it in your Rishus, means to say you haven't completely removed it from your Rishus if you got Dhammim in its place. Then, it's almost like a Knas Midaraisa. Then, because you haven't removed it fully from your Rishus, you still have in this Cheftza the shame of Avodas Kochavim B'Rishuscha. And Avodas Kochavim B'Rishus Yisrael has the shame of Avodas Kochavim. So really it stems from the Chiyuv of being Motzi et Merishuso Legamri. It's almost like a Knas. That for trying to maintain some of it in your Rishus via the exchange, then the shame of Avodas Kochavim is chal on it. It's like the Ramban says, it's Gzeiras HaKasuv. It doesn't work, it doesn't make any logical. Logically, it doesn't make sense that it should have a shame of Avodas Kochavim. Because it has no Dhammim. And it's just the Gzeiras HaKasuv. Gzeiras HaKasuv is really designed, like the Ramban says, the whole purpose of the Gzeiras HaKasuv is it has a design. And what's the design? The design is to completely sever Avodas Kochavim from your Rishus. There should be no remnant of Avodas Kochavim Birshuscha. There should be no association of anything you have in your Rishus to Avodas Kochavim. So the shame of Avodas Kochavim is not, it's not a din of like a Maisa that mints anew Avodas Kochavim. It only has the shame of Avodas Kochavim because you fail to be motzi the Avodas Kochavim Birshuscha. Like the Pasuk says. It's the pshat in the Pasuk. It's a lo sovi toev el beisecha v'yisachirin kamoi. You can't bring it into your bias. Once it's in your bias, then anything that comes from it is chirin kamoi. But by an avodas kochavim doesn't have this halacha, a guy doesn't have this halacha, then there's no tefisas dam.
Isn't it still a remnant?
Not a remnant birshuscha. In other words, so what's about the question they were asking before, that when the guy switches it, it's a remnant? Yeah, but it's not a remnant birshuscha. In other words, to you, your rishus is first, your rishus, in other words, what about the question they're asking before? That what if, so if a guy sells the chavim and you take that money, will this happen? Will the Rambam's problem happen? So I'm saying no. Because in reality, in other words, you have to look at it from your Rishus' standpoint, okay? So if in my Rishus was an entity of Avodas Kochavim, right? So psychologically, I feel that it's part of my Rishus, right? And giving it away, I feel like it's a loss. So if I get something in its place, so in my mind, my Rishus was benefited by having that Avodas Kochavim here in terms of the money. So this money is associated, but that's not the problem. The problem is not that, no. The problem is that I feel that I got that it was mine in a certain sense, and this money is in its place. So this money has an association with that Avodas Kochavim. But it's only because the Avodas Kochavim was under my Rishus in the first place. So I look at it, you have to think superstitiously a little bit. You have to think like, no, seriously, you have to have like a little bit of a superstitious way to think. So you think like this. You're thinking that idol really brought good things to me. How? Because it started the chain of events. That you have to realize, an Ovid of Azar feels that he was favored by the idol. He feels like the god of the, you feel like the Avodas Kochavim favored you in some way. Right, so it had to be in your Rishus in the first place. Otherwise, there's no relationship with the Avodas Kochavim to begin with. But you can feel once it came into my house, it blessed my house in a certain way. How? Because when I got what I got from it, gave me a good thing. I somehow still maintained a relationship with it through its dhammim. But if my first interaction is with the dhammim of Yod Kavam to begin with, there's no relationship to maintain. You know what I mean? So in the superstitious way, you feel, the person feels that there was a relationship with the Yavos Chavim, and then he got some like transitional value from it. But it's not really the Dhammim per se, it's that he was involved in this transaction. Like the involvement in the transaction gave him back some good. You know what I mean? And that was expressed with how he was successful with that money. But you don't feel about the money, you feel about the Avodah Zarah. But if you never had that, if there never was that relationship to begin with, then there's nothing. In other words, let me put it this way. The Jew, the person who did that, doesn't feel that when he gives other people this money, it's going to benefit them. Doesn't really feel like it's lucky money. I didn't mean to put it that way. It's not a matter of it feels this money is now hot, you know, special money. He's not going to go and try to get back that money that he has nothing to do with it anymore, right? He just feels that the blessing worked its way through, sort of trickled down to him through the exchange. Like you need some sort of chain of events to connect you to the original thing in order for its luck to reach you. You know what I mean? So I don't have it anymore, but I did switch it. So it's sort of like electricity still flows. You know what I mean?
You still relate back to the other.
Still relate back to it. That's how powerful it was. Even the money I switched it for still maintained its blessing, still maintained its good fortune to me. Really, it is what has good fortune. Really, it is that idol is really favoring me. The god of that idol is really affecting me. And you can see from the fact that when I got it, even something I got in its place is still working. But if you just got the money, it has no shaykhus to you.
That's like an argument with no balance, though.
The fact that it teaches you, no, it's a very important question is raised. I mean, ain't no devar sof. I mean, the guy could still feel, maybe the guy will feel just because it was sitting there, even though he threw it out, left some residue in his house. So what do we say? A guy brings an idol into his house, he has to burn down the house. So, or any type of crazy guy walks by and feels that he was lucky because it passed by him. I mean, how could you just... So the point is, you're absolutely right. The imagination of the person has no bounds. But halacha has to be limited to maisa and things that it can be chal on in a halachic way. So it can't be chal on every crazy thought that a guy could have. But hopefully what the Rambam is saying is that hopefully from this halacha itself, it does undermine to a great degree, or it does teach to a great degree the proper philosophy, the proper way. But you're right. It can only be lima'uti tifla. Can't completely eradicate it. So the two sides, just to sum it up, would be, is the din of tfisas damim in the Torah a halacha of chalos, shame, avodas kochavim per se? Meaning to say that there are two ways to create the shame, avodas kochavim. Avoda or chalipin, but they're just both forms. They're both the dinim in how the shame of Avodas Kochavim is chal. So then it doesn't matter who does it. Just like you don't say a Jew has to bow down to an idol to make it an idol, right? Even though. Well, that like you say is different because that's a mitzvah to B'nai Noach too. But like Basar B'chalav, you don't say, or Shatnez, or Kilayim, all the other things. You don't say because the mitzvah of Kilayim is not given to Ben Noach, he can't make Kilayim. No, because Torah is telling you, in this situation, this is Kilayim. It doesn't matter who makes it. It's giving you a criteria for what is considered Kilayim. So if this is part of the criteria, part of the rules of what is considered the shame of Avodas Kochavim, meaning not only the thing that was worshipped, but the thing that was tachas, the thing that was worshipped, then it doesn't matter who does it. But if it's a din that stems from the chiyuv of being motzi every remnant from your rishus, and it's a prat in that chiyuv, you must remove it from your rishus completely. And part of that din is that anything that is not removed is cheirem kamohu. So then it's only on Yisrael who has that mitzvah. In other words, it's a din in your relationship to the Avos Kavim. It's not a din in the shame of Avos Kavim per se. So only Bnei Yisrael have this chiyuv of being motzi every remnant of from their rishus. Okay, so let's go a little further. I don't know if you got a chance to get a little further, but we'll do the pshat, and then it's just amazing how far these halachas go of rotza bikumo, right? But we have to see. It's not so simple what this means. So what's the next case? They want to like this.
El-me-hacha?
What's that?
El-me-hacha,
right.
Is it no she or no se?
No she.
Okay. El-me-hacha. Right. Oh, because Shani asked. Right. Okay. El-me-hacha. Yisrael shehayin no she be'ovid kochavim mana.
Okay. Who could read? You figured out how to read this? It's hard to read, right?
Yeah, I hope I did. yeah. Umachar.
Good. So if a Jew lent a guy an ovi kochavim, 100, a mona, whatever it is, right? He lent the money. Umochar avodas kochavim. So what you read is ovi kochavim or avodas kochavim, right? So he lent it to the ovi kochavim, and he sold the avodas kochavim. So who sold the avodas kochavim? The Ovid Kochavim sold the Avodas Kochavim, the Havi Lo, what?
The money.
He brought him the money. Or he sold the Ayin Nesach and brought him the money. This Tosefta didn't want to use too many words, right? So he sold Umochar. That's like the Ibn Ezra says a lot in Psukkim. He says sometimes you have the verb, and then it goes on two things. It's not repeated the second time, you know. He's mochar avos chav mevilo, umochar yayin esach mevilo. Okay? So in both of those cases, it's mutter. Alma demei avos chav mevilo. That's a clear raya. That's a clear raya. You can't get better raya than that. Right? But the Tosefta continues, and it takes a funny turn. But right, that's when he was mochar vehevi. He did it already, and now he just brings the money. But if he tells the Jew, give me a little time to sell my idols, right, and then I'll bring you the money, give me a little time to sell my yayin nesach, and then I'll bring you the money, then it's aser. Then it's aser. Yeah, go ahead. What's the difference? Omar Rav Sheshes.
Seifa mishum dehavale ki rotze b'kiyuma.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the last case. It's a little complicated. Yeah, Maishna Resha, buying an ifshut. What does that mean? Umi umasnisen hechi mitarza. What's the pshat in that, Rashi? Got her in the second case because he wrote to b'kiyuma. So the Gemara is saying that the second in the Sefer it's Aser because he's a Rotze B'Kiyumo. Wow, that's wild, huh? He's a Rotze B'Kiyumo. Why is he a Rotze B'Kiyumo? Because the guy told him.
That's going to be the source. Yeah.
The guy told him, I've got this idol here, and as soon as I sell it, I'll give you the money. Right. So then someone says to him, hey, do you hope that idol lasts?
Sure.
Says darn right.
Sure.
Sorry, can't have it. That's pretty extreme, isn't it?
I don't say it was extreme. It was the same as the rest of the game.
I know, but he just wants the money. I mean,
I'd be like, why did you tell me?
So he says it like this. The Ran says Udam Rinon. It's in the third line, the third of the second wide lines. Udamrina novelim omelo hamtain ad sheemkor vos chavim vavilacha, yayenesech vavilacha, Yesh mefarshim didafka b'deshavye ni'alei apu tiki. Yeah, what does that mean? So that means like what Mike was saying. That means you make it the place to collect from. Right? It means like you set it up as this is where you will get your money from. No, it's like a collateral after the loan is made. You know what I mean? It's not like a collateral. Mashkon is a, I think that's what it basically means. I have to check it out. But that's basic. But basically, it means that you're really, now your payment becomes totally on this. So then you really are Rosa Bikumo. What if it's just Stam? What if it's just Stam what? The guy happens to tell him that. But there's no real monetary reality to that statement, right? So then, who cares? Then he's a Rosa Bikumo, and also. It's just Stam. The guy owes him the money anyway, right? Still owes him the money, even if he can't sell this Yayin Nesach. So he's still on the hook for the money. So let him go work for, let him work harder, make some money and give it to me, right? V'raya l'davar midinan b'pirkin. Omnin Yisroel. Okay, it's the Mishnah earlier on. Later on, Umnin Yisrael. So you have Jewish workers. Sheshalach lehem oved kochavim chavis shel yayin nesach. So a guy did a Jewish guy does work for a non-Jew, and he sends him the bill, and the non-Jew sends yayin nesach to pay. Here, right? He brings him yayin nesach. Here's my payment, yayin nesach. So what does the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah says, "Mutter sheyomru lo tein lanu es tomeo." The Jew is allowed to say, "Oh, slow down with the barrels there. Give me the money." So you see, so they want to bring a raya from that, that even though he's bringing the Yayin Nesach as his payment, right? As long as it's not the exclusive payment. It doesn't matter if he has to exchange the Yayin Nesach for the payment.
I don't get the case.
Yeah, that's the problem. The case doesn't really work out. What do you say?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you have to write, exactly. So the Ran, basically the Ran, the Ritva, the Rashba, the Ramban, they all say this. I don't know who it is that thought this up, but everybody, every Rishon that I saw basically dismisses this Raya. The dismisses this idea that it has to be the exclusive payment, and this raya has nothing to do with this. So he says like this: the Ran says,
it "has to be the exclusive."
Ve'ena mechuvar. Yeah, they did reject that idea. He says ve'ena mechuvar. It doesn't make sense. Dim kein lamalei lemisni hitira hetera b'mecher vehevi liflog v'lisni b'hamdin gufei dibelo shavi avatugi shari. So that's a classic refutation. Classic refutation. If you're really right that it's only usher if the guy sets it up as the exclusive payment, so then you should have just had two cases where the guy said hamtingly. Why do you have to have the first case? There was the Tosefta wants to teach you a case of heter and a case of iser. It should teach you the biggest chiddush in the heter. So if you really hold, even if the guy says, wait for me to sell this Yayin Nesach, that it's mutter as long as there was no deal, that it's the exclusive source. So that's what the Tosef should have had. Should have had two cases of hamtainli. Wait for me to sell this stuff and it's mutter. Wait for me to sell this stuff and this is where your money's coming from. This is the only place. Then it's usher. But since it had the heter case was just where he sold it already and brought him the money, that's the only heter case. So it's mashma that any case where he says hamtinli is usher. Now it's an argument that if you're right, then the Raisa should have taught the bigger chiddush. You're telling me a bigger chiddush. Right, that even in hamtainli, sometimes it's mutter. Oh, so then the Brisa should have said two cases of hamtainli. Right? That's what they call your argument proves too much. It's a confounding expression to most people. Your argument proves too much. That's why it's bad. But that's exactly what it means. It means to say, your argument proves too much, because if you were right, it should have had a bigger chiddush. Right? But it doesn't. Problem is, it proves too much, but what it's proving, doesn't, we know, doesn't exist. It's working against you. Your argument would have a certain conclusion, which we know is not true. So then the argument is bad if it's proving something that we know is not true. So basically, that's the basic format of this argument. If you were right, then Bryce should have been written differently. Okay? So he said like this. That's one problem. And furthermore...
It was originally bringing that proof in to prove the Mutter case? Is that what it was
having? They were... Who, the Apotiki guys?
Yeah.
They were saying that when it says Hamtainli, it's only Usser if it's Hamtainli in a specific case of where they make it the exclusive source of the payment. But just a Stam Hamtainli, if you go to the guy's store and you say, give me the money, and he says, wait, I got to sell this Yayin Nesach first, and then I'll give you the money, they want to say that would be Mutter. So then that means there's two Hamtainlis. So then it should have taught, instead of making a chilek between Mochar Vehevi, it should have made a chilek between Hamtainli Vavi. Hamtainli Vavi one way is good, Hamtainli Vavi the other way is no good. That would have been the bigger chiddush. Even in the future.
What happened to the bigger chiddush case? What does he tell you?
Who?
The guy.
In this theoretical world?
The one where it's the exclusive payment.
Oh, there's some deal you have. You have some deal with him. You agreed to make that the source. Right. So he says, Elavadai, kol heichada omar le hamtein aser. Every time he says, wait for me, it's aser. That's tough stuff, huh? That's tough stuff. Because it's not up to you. It's not like you're getting hired to break the to work, and it's not like you're a poel in a vos klavim. You just lent the guy money. And because he tells you to wait that he needs to sell the stuff, now you can't take your money. Okay. Umasnis and Shani, the inu lo omri le mechor osa. The Mishnah has nothing to do with this. The Jews didn't tell the guy, sell that barrel and give me the money. They just said, we don't want the barrel, we want money. Right? V'ihunami lo omar lu hamtinu ad she'emkar. Elohachi omar le ad she'ata nosein lanu chavis shove asara tein lanu asara dinarim she'en dameha. Right? And they didn't say let us sell it. There's nothing to do with that case. Has nothing to do with a switch for this barrel is going to be turned into money and then payment. They just said we don't want barrels. Just get us money. Go back home and bring money instead. They didn't say that barrel you're bringing me, sell it and then give me the money. There's nothing to do with it. They're just asking for other money. They're saying even though the guy wanted to pay with the Yayin Nesach, that doesn't make a difference. Just tell him. Pay me money instead. It's really taught for the second half that if he gives it to you, it's going to be usher. But that first case has nothing to do with the Hamtainli. Has nothing to do with selling. Has nothing to do with Dmei Yayin Nesach at all. It's just saying, don't pay me in Yayin Nesach. Pay me your money.
I'm trying to make a payment here. He's not accepting.
I'm not accepting this payment. Go back. Go stick your hands in your pocket and bring in and pull out some bills. I'm not telling you sell this stuff and bring me your money from this stuff. Okay, so Hilkach ain kan rotza bekuma klal. It's not a rotza bekuma at all. I don't care if this barrel breaks. I'm not looking at this barrel as the source of my money. Okay, but it's still hard. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just the my Jewishness. It just seems tough not to be able to collect that debt just because he said he's going to sell the Yayin Nesach. I mean, what does that do with me exactly? I'm not really Rotze Bekiyumo in this Yayin. I mean, so he'll have to work harder. I'll come after him to make sure he pays me money some other way. I mean, I'll get it quicker. All right. Now, the Ravitz is like this. The Ravitz says something that's totally backwards. Okay. So maybe we'll leave that. Let me just read you what the Ravid says.
So you're saying, like, in this case, the guy says to you,
I want my money.
Just let me sell this money. You're just saying, like, all right, do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, do whatever you got to do. Just give me the money.
Right?
Yeah. And if the barrel breaks, I'm sorry. Get me the money somewhere else. I don't know.
You're sorry. That means that you didn't do it.
I'm sorry for you, not for me. So now the Rebbe says something that seems totally reversed. He says like this. You'll read it through. We'll pick it up on next week. So anyway, I don't think you know the Rebbe says something, and the Rishonim, the Ran has it, the Ritva, the Rashba, the Ramban has it, but only the Ritva makes sense out of it. So if you want to understand what the Rebbe is talking about, you got to look at the Ritva.